so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 4th, 2019. I am your host, Allison Cole, and today is our New Year's show. There's never been a better time to embrace a compassionate lifestyle, one in which you do not consume the body parts or secretions of an individual who wanted to live. Do you want to live a life that supports kindness and respect towards all living beings? We believe and we know that you can do so by taking the step towards veganism. And it's Veganuary now. It's not too late to take the Veganuary pledge at veganuary.com. Today's show is all about inspiration and providing support in your shift towards eating and living with compassion and health in the forefront of mind. Coming up, we will have a feature interview with Sean and Dan Moskaluk, two vegan advocates who hail from the Okanagan Valley, and they have an incredible story of transformation to tell in their vegan journey, which started 8 years ago. Also, they will share with us the story of a Christmas miracle that took place last week when a dairy farmer in Abbotsford decided to spare the lives of 9 newborn calves. We'll learn what happened to those calves and the realities of the dairy industry in just a bit, so do stay tuned. January 1st, 2019 marks my 25th year of being vegetarian when I made the switch for good at the young age of 18 years old, and I've never looked back. I've been vegan now for about the last 11 years or so. Studies have shown that most people who stop eating meat, however, actually go back to eating meat a short time after, and this is because of challenges of dealing with social situations and lack of community support. Except now these days, I find that there is so much community support out there. And so today I am here with my sister, Leanna. You started on your vegan journey about 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, about 2003.
So we have a combined 40 years of experience here to share with you our tips for going vegan in 2019. Our first tip is to find your community. In Vancouver, we're actually really lucky to have a large vegan community here, and that can be seen by our Vancouver Vegans Facebook group that we have that has over 7,400 people. And on that group, it's just really open and we're all like-minded, and you can go on there and ask for advice. You can offer tips and just like offer great recipes or deals that are happening on vegan products around town, or we share events as well. And we actually do meet in person. But Leanna, you moved to the Midwest of the US about 5 years ago, and there was no vegan community there. So what did you do? You started one.
Well, there was a vegan community there. There's a Facebook page, the Vegan Vegetarian Facebook page, but there wasn't an activist group. So I started Sioux Falls Area Action for Animals in August, and I've been planning monthly meetups where we get together at restaurants to enjoy a vegan meal. We've also had a couple potlucks, and then we've done some activism like chalking, leafletting, and had a movie screening to invite non-vegetarians too. So the hope of the group is just to be able to support each other in our vegan activism journey.
That's awesome. And here in Vancouver too, I want to talk about another group that we have, but it's actually worldwide. There's a website called meetup.com. And if you're not part of it yet, you should go to it. And this is an excellent way to meet people of all different varying types of interests. So if you go to meetup.com and type in vegan, for example, or whatever you're interested in, you'll find groups in your community, hopefully, that are like-minded. So here in Vancouver, we have the Meatless Meetup group, which we have over 3,800 members so far. And I'm an organizer of that group. And we also have the VegVan group. And both of these groups go and visit different different restaurants around town, and we have potlucks, we have meetups at the beach, we have meditation workshops, we have film screenings, we have speaker presentations, and mostly it's just a really good way to meet people and to socialize and to meet a lot of interesting people that are like-minded, and it builds community. So as I mentioned as well, that we have Vancouver Vegans. That's an online group. You can also find online community in your area. Vancouver also has the Vancouver Animal Advocates Facebook group, the Vancouver Animal Activists Facebook group. If you're thinking of a more global group, there's a Vegans United group, which is really good. I'm a part of the Vegans in the Military group. And what groups are you part of, Liana?
I am in the Christian Vegans group.
You can also join local activist groups as well, because activism is a great way to share, I think, your interest in the lifestyle of not wanting to harm others and to wanting to convey that message to others, right? So here in Vancouver, we have Direct Action Everywhere. They're all around the world as well. But one thing that they do to build community is they hold monthly visits at animal sanctuaries where they go to visit animals and to volunteer. There's also the Vancouver Chicken Save, which has its vigils every Saturday, and the Surrey Chicken Save has vigils once a month, as does the Langley Pig Save. There are the Anonymous for the Voiceless chapters that are worldwide, and we have one here in Vancouver, and what they do is they host the Cube of Truth activism events that we've talked about here on the show recently, and we are now starting groups in Richmond and at the University of British Columbia.
Yeah, I think just joining these types of groups is a great way to find local community. And for new vegans who haven't done any activism yet, I just want to say, just don't be intimidated by activism. I have joined some of these groups in different cities that I've been in, and they've all been very welcoming and respectful of boundaries. So just feel comfortable that you're able to participate in whatever level you are at in your activism.
Also, if you go to school, if you're in high school or you're in college or university, well, do your schools have a vegan or animal rights group? If not, start one. And that's exactly what my friend Patrick did at the University of British Columbia a few years ago. There was no vegan group at this huge university, so he started one. And Liana, do you remember the group that I helped to start in high school?
Yes.
What was it called?
Eco Club.
And that was our environmental conservation organization. So yeah, start one and be active. But the point is that you don't have to be isolated. There's going to be community out there. You just have to seek it out. And I think veganism is just really a lifestyle where you just gain so much. And it's just amazing to be around people who share the same interests as you. So for number two, build a solid food repertoire so that there's never an excuse, and just always have a plan. So what I mean by that is, whether you cook or not, you should always know what you're going to have to eat in the future, because I think that one challenge for people or obstacle is that they're not sure what to eat, like when they're going out or when they're traveling or when they're at work or when they're with friends or family. So if you arm yourself with a strong repertoire of food that you know that you can eat, then that's going to make it a lot easier. But first of all, if you do cook or you want to learn how, now is your chance, because I would say that, you know, if you're a cook and you're used to cooking meat, usually that's like a big slab of meat with some vegetables as a side traditionally, right? And that's actually not very interesting. What I learned when I went vegetarian and vegan is that there is just a world of amazing recipes out there that you can try. Now that we have Facebook and Instagram, I really like the videos on the Bosch Facebook channel. Those are really cool. I love watching those. Like, there's so many recipe videos out these days. And Liana, you're a fan of Instagram. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, there's a few actually local to Vancouver accounts that I follow on Instagram that are great for people who are wanting to know how to cook vegan food. Anna Pippis has an account called Easy Animal Free, and she often does stories of just meals that she's cooking for her family, for her two young boys and husband and herself. And it's great. You can see step by step how she does it and how easy it is. And also another account is Erin Ireland, who discusses a lot about food, about local vegan foods, where you can buy things from in Vancouver. And she does in her stories as well. She's always trying out different recipes. And I've even tried out some recipes that she's done because they just look so good and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had Erin Ireland on the show last year. You were actually here when she was here. And we've had Anna Pippis on many times because she's also an amazing animal advocate. She's a lawyer who works for animal justice. So she's doing a lot of great work. So I want to talk about what is on your list of common foods to eat. I don't necessarily cook a lot, but there's just never a shortage, I find, of vegan foods to eat. There's so many convenience foods available these days, such as Gardein products, which are my favorite. If you like fish, for example, they have fishless fillets. They have chicken tenders, turkey stuffed roast, pizza pockets, which I know you eat in the States, right? And
yes,
we have Daya cheese pizzas, which I really like because it can be quite affordable and they're just like really easy to make. There are a variety of vegan mac and cheeses. I really like the Daya ones. It comes with, it's not like your Kraft dinner like we used to have when we were young, which was a powdered mix that you would have to mix with butter and milk. It's actually a cheesy sauce and it's so delicious. And this cheese is made out of tapioca, so there's no allergens in there whatsoever. And vegan ravioli and pierogies. You have vegan ravioli in the US. We don't have that so much here, but we found some vegan pierogies at the store couple of weeks ago. We still have to eat them. Yeah. Also, ice creams. There are no shortage of vegan ice creams these days. So they're made out of coconuts, almonds, soy, cashew. There's so many kinds and varieties that you can eat. And Daya Greek yogurt is another favorite of mine. And there are many other brands of yogurts out there as well. Basically, there's everything you can imagine for convenience foods. And that, I'm not even counting all the plant-based milks that are available in all the stores these days. And of course, that doesn't even count foods like fruits and vegetables and grains and legumes, which are naturally vegan and just regular foods, of course. Now, Leanna, you live in an omnivorous family. You have family members that you have to cook for. And you actually have a spreadsheet of family-friendly meals that you make for your family. Can you tell us about some of them that you have in your spreadsheet? Very organized.
Well, there's just a lot of foods that I know they like, and they usually don't eat a vegan diet. So I just try and take foods that they like and then make them vegan. So I use some convenience foods, like you mentioned, some Gardein products. But then there's things like baked potatoes, which they like. So I just get the tofutti sour cream, or lots of pastas. Pastas are easy because the sauces, there's the tomato sauce, which is vegan. And then I can make an easy pesto sauce. They also make pesto sauce without cheese to buy. And for like a fettuccine, it's easy to make a cashew cream garlic sauce. You just blend it up and that's done.
So there's lots of ideas there. And I want to say too, you can make anything that you're usually used to. You can make basically anything vegan. And when I want to make a recipe of something, and of course I want to make it like the best version ever. So what I will do is, all you have to do is type into Google or YouTube. This is what I do. I'll type in best vegan chocolate cake, for example, and the best vegan chocolate cakes will come up and you can choose what you want. And there are so many varieties. Have you done that before, Leanna?
I have. I've done it with best chocolate chip cookie.
Great. I can't talk about recipes without talking about vegan cookbooks, because while there are so many free vegan recipes available online, there's always a good old-fashioned cookbook, which is so, like, they're always, I love looking through cookbooks and reading them and reading the recipes and seeing the photos. And it's easy to find cookbooks in thrift stores, vegan cookbooks. They have them there. You can even borrow them from the library, or you can ask for them as birthday or Christmas gifts. And for example, Leanna, you got me a couple of cookbooks for Christmas, and I've been enjoying looking at them. I just want to recommend quickly these two newish cookbooks: Feed Me Vegan for All Occasions by Lucy Watson, she's in the UK, and Chloe Flavor by Chloe Coscarelli, which is a favorite of Leanna and I. We used to go to her restaurant by Chloe in the US. So I also want to talk about the obstacles of traveling and going, like maybe work situations. And we've already spoken about, well, the family situations, but you actually have to, you find yourself eating out sometimes with in places like for work or with family where you live in the Midwest where there's just not a vegan restaurant or the people who are going or don't want to go there. So how do you cope and what do you do when you're at one of these restaurants that really don't have much to offer?
If I can, I look at the menu beforehand, but usually what I do is I look at the sides and they usually have like a vegetable side or a grain side. So that's usually what I do. I mean, I've had even just a plate of fruit and vegetable and that's my meal.
And you know what? I think when you do become a plant eater, you really actually appreciate having a plate of maybe fresh salad and fruit to eat, right? I find that there's actually joy in that because you know you're not eating the greasy, deep-fried animal carcasses the rest of the people are eating. So I think really just the more you get used to it, it just becomes a part of your life. So some people say that they can't be vegan because they travel. What do you think about this, Leanna? You travel quite a lot. Does that mean you can't be vegan?
I think the main thing is just planning. I mean, I bring a lot of snack foods with me when I'm traveling.
So do I.
Yeah. And then it's really not that hard. I mean, if I'm traveling on the road, even at gas stations, they always have fruit. So that's an option.
Absolutely. So airlines do not offer meals anymore, usually unless it's an international flight. And if it is, all you have to do is simply order a special meal. They have Asian vegetarian meals, which are vegan, or just the vegan meal. And just always double check to make sure that they don't forget your order. And I find that there are now even vegan snack packs offered on most airlines. So you can at least have some hummus and pretzels if you are in a bind. But otherwise, I always say, always pack snacks, a pack food that you enjoy eating. I usually always make a large batch of kale chips before my trips. And then I pack them into Ziploc bags in my carry-on baggage. And they are so yummy and satisfying to eat while you're in transit. And it's always good to know that you're not going to be hungry if some disaster happens and you're stuck and you miss your connection and you're stuck sitting in an airport overnight somewhere, which I think has happened to you before, right? And you had an apple fritter or something to eat that was vegan.
Yes.
The point is that we're trying to make is that there's always a solution and you also don't have to make it all or nothing if that's going to be a way out of the vegan lifestyle for you. Don't say that because you can't do everything, that means you can't do nothing. Basically, eating vegan is now second nature to me. It's an instilled habit and it can be for you as well. So just keep going at it and don't quit. And I think having community around you is helpful for that. So our next tip is to keep educating yourself because this is a lifelong path. Keep it real by remembering why you are doing this. If you need to, watch the graphic footage in your social media feeds that will come up. And that's what happens when you make a lot of vegan friends on social media, is they will be posting vegan outreach materials, which I think is great for me because I want to share it, but it's also educational for myself as well. I only learn about things by keeping my eyes open and by seeing what other people have to offer, right? So I recommend watching the film Dominion, which recently came out this last year, and that's available on Vimeo. We also did an interview with the filmmaker of that. If you want to check out that podcast on animalvoices.org. So, you know, you owe it to the animals who are suffering and you owe it to them to be armed with knowledge, to be able to pass it on. And so something else that I will recommend is to listen to podcasts such as Animal Voices. And I know, Leanna, I have 9 years of podcasts that I have created for everyone. They're all free. They're for the public community to listen to. And you've been catching up with them.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about, like, do you learn stuff when you listen to our podcast?
Definitely. I've been listening since you started and I'm almost caught up. I usually just listen to it when I'm like working out. So it's great to have a podcast to listen to. And I learn a lot. You have tons of different interviews. You interview like different activists from all like across the world, really. And you learn about all the different plights of animals and all the organizations out there and how you can help them. And you do a lot about food too. So I'm always constantly learning different things. It's great.
So not just to recommend Animal Voices, but of course you can check us out on animalvoices.org, on iTunes, and now newly on Google Play Podcasts. So I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and I want to recommend some of them because it's just, I just feel it's like these are out here for us to use and to listen to. We need to listen to them and pass them on. So some that I can recommend are Our Hen House, Easy Vegan with JL Fields, Main Street Vegan with Victoria Moran, The Ritual Podcast, The Food for Thought Podcast by Colleen Patrick Goudreau, and there's also the Thought for Food Podcast. Now, you follow some people on social media, Liana, and that's how you have been educating yourself in past years. Can you tell us about some of the people that you recommend to follow on social media?
Yeah, I think people should definitely follow James Aspie. He and also Earthling Ed are great to follow, and Joey Carpstrong. And then recently, since May, I've been following That Vegan Couple, who are based in Australia. They travel a lot and they do outreach in different cities, and they just really educate and help you to learn how to spread the vegan message effectively.
There are also free webinars that you can attend. And Liana, you were the one to remind me of this. And one of them has been the Food Revolution Summit that's put on by Ocean Robbins and John Robbins. John Robbins is the author of one of the most important books out there, Diet for New America. And they put out this summit every year of an array of amazing speakers who present on all sorts of different topics. And it's all free. There's also recently there was the Vegan Warrior Summit that happened. I know you listened to that. And there's a summit that's free as well coming up next week on January 12th and 13th. It's called the Humane Hoax Summit. And you can find out more about that by, we'll be speaking about it in our events section later on. Another way to educate yourself is to attend conferences if you can. So that might be in your area where you live. Like here in Vancouver, we used to have the Animal Advocacy Camp, which I used to help organize. And we had one last year actually in Victoria. And stay tuned to find out if we're doing another one soon. I will find out about that. But there's also the National Animal Rights Conference that Liana, you and I usually go to every year. It happens every year, alternating between the West Coast and the East Coast in the U.S. And this coming year for 2019, it should be taking place in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about that by going to arconference.org. Of course, we also recommend the ALC, Animal Liberation Conference, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, that will be happening in Berkeley again this year from May 29th to June 4th. It's only $75 to register, and you can find out more at animalliberationconference.com. And that is a vegan activism boot camp, as we've called it, but it's also just a great way to meet vegans from all over the world, really, and just to make worldwide connections with other people who are like-minded. So for our next tip, we've already talked about using online resources, but there are some online resources that we want to introduce to you that can help you learn and be accountable. The first one that I want to talk about is Veganuary, and that's what our show was about last week. Veganuary is otherwise known as January, and it's a time of the year where we make resolutions, and we encourage you to make the resolution for going vegan for 2019. Veganuary is a 30-day challenge where you go to veganuary.com. And there are all kinds of resources there, and it keeps you accountable. There's also the 22-day vegan challenge, which is another similar challenge. Just go to challenge22.com. And when you sign up there, you'll receive recipes and personal guidance from mentors and clinical dietitians. And I also want to recommend the 21-day Kickstart program, which is run by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. That's also a free program. Go to kickstart.pcrm.org. Finally, because this is coming up soon, I want to recommend the Plant Milk Challenge, which has been started by Dotsie Bausch, who's a former Olympic silver medalist. We had her on the show a year ago. You can hear that interview at animalvoices.org. And they are running the Plant Milk Challenge again, which starts on January the 10th this year. You can sign up at Plant Milk Challenge 2019 on Facebook. So you might be wondering why are these challenges like 21 or 22?
2 days. Well, that's because it's been proven that it takes 3 weeks or 21 days to change a habit, and especially dietary habits, because that's about how long it takes for your taste buds and your tongue to renew themselves. So again, all these programs are free, and if you want links to them, you can find them on our website at animalvoices.org. So next tip, don't just be a plant-based eater, but be an advocate for animals and the planet as well. And I would advise to not be one of those vegans who keeps it a secret from everyone. This is actually the best time ever in the world to speak up about it and to become an animal advocate for the planet. What do you think, Leanna?
Yes, definitely. I think it's just best to lead by example. Just let people around you see you living the vegan lifestyle and let them ask you questions and come to you and be open and honest and share with them.
Absolutely. So I say be an advocate in your everyday life. Just living a vegan lifestyle makes you a more aware inhabitant of this earth. I feel like I see things happening on this earth from a different lens than most people. I know that everything is connected and that our individual choices actually have an impact on other areas of the planet. And it's really not an individual choice when other people and animals and the environment are concerned and all affected. So we all need to be our own social advocates for the planet and speak up even when your voice shakes, and it will just get easier and easier. Just trust me on that. Leanna, there's a vegan meme out there that you wanted to share with everyone about being just sort of like this outsider who suddenly has an epiphany and sees things differently.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to living a life without blinders on. So the meme says, being vegan is like being the main character in a horror movie who saw an evil ghost and blinders on. So the meme says, being vegan is like being the main character in a horror movie who saw an evil ghost and you're trying to warn everyone, but no one believes you.
Society tells us that the tipping point is 11%. So that means that when 11% of people are starting to think one way and starting to make a change in one way, that means that everyone else will follow suit. And we are starting to get there because the number of vegans in the world is getting higher and higher all the time. Yeah. So we just want to say as well, just to make it fun, it should be one that is adding. And I have certainly found that for me. And one thing that I encourage doing is to certainly found that for me. And one thing that I encourage doing is to visit and volunteer at animal sanctuaries as a fun way to just enjoy life, but also to replenish yourself. Leanna and I enjoy going to animal sanctuaries and picking up goat poop, don't we?
Yeah. And getting cuddles from the cows and giving pig belly rubs.
Exactly. Also, we are all animals. We're all earthlings. Help people as well whenever and however you can. We're all interconnected. And when others are oppressed, no one can be free. So just really realize that this is a picture that revolves around everything on this planet.
I think just in your vegan journey, just have fun with it, with your transition and committing to a vegan lifestyle. And just do the best you can, because now that you know better, you're doing better. And know that you are now aligning your values with your actions, which will create more peace and harmony in your life. And just always remember to lead with compassion.
Thank you, Leanna. And I exactly agree with you. I want to live by my morals and I want to have integrity with everything that I do. So doing so enables you to be a whole human being. And who doesn't want that, right? Know better, do better, and you can make a significant difference in your life and the lives of many others by going vegan for 2019.
Mosaic is proud to present the English Language Institute, located off of Commercial Broadway. Are you scared to pick up the phone? Our everyday English class can help. Our experienced teachers give you the listening skills to feel confident chatting in English with anyone, anywhere. For further information, visit mosaicbc.org/MELI. The Mosaic English Language Institute on Commercial Drive.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
For our feature interview today, we have a dual interview with Sean and Dan Moskaluk. They are two vegan animal rights activists and plant-based health advocates known as the Indian Rock Vegans, and they are joining us today from their home in the Okanagan Valley of Naramata, BC. They have an amazing vegan transformation story to tell, and not only that, advice for going vegan for 2019 and stories of how they advocate animals. Just a few weeks ago, there was a Christmas miracle that happened. 9 baby calves were surrendered by the dairy industry at a farm in Abbotsford, BC, where they would have otherwise been sent to slaughter. 3 of these beautiful babies have been transported to Critter Aid Sanctuary in the Okanagan, where Sean and Dan have been volunteering to care for them, and they will tell us more about the story and about how the baby calves are doing now. Hi, Sean and Dan, and welcome to the Animal Voices Show.
Thank
Hello.
You so much.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much, and best of the new year to Animal Voices and all your listeners.
Same to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show today to share with us some of your stories of transformation and advocacy for veganism and the animals. Now, I've been wanting to have you both on the show now for years, ever since I was at the gym one day 3 or 4 years ago, and you both came on my TV screen as a part of a story presented by Global TV News, and I was shocked to see that the mainstream media was promoting a success story of the vegan lifestyle. So for those who aren't familiar, could you both tell us a little about your background as pre-vegans and what instigated a drastic change in the way you both eat starting 8 years ago?
It started for me about 2010. I stumbled into this information by our son joined a gym and was told he would need whey protein to gain muscle. So I did a little research, which just led me down the rabbit hole. And I suddenly became aware that dairy is actually not very good for us, or all animal protein. And I just started to read and read and read, and we transitioned to a vegan lifestyle because of health, and then further transitioned to a whole food plant-based lifestyle as time went by. But it was just such a, it was like we were living in a parallel universe, and suddenly you find out there's this whole other truth out there, and it was the best truth we ever found. And so that was when I was 46 years old, so I'm about to turn 55. So it's been a huge transition for our life. And at that time, I weighed nearly 300 pounds and went from, for the next 2 years, went on to lose over 100 pounds. So it had a huge impact on my life. And then Dan.
Yeah, so it was essentially I was kind of, myself and our two teenagers were dragged along, and that was what was being cooked in the household. Initially the food was as many, you know, experiences so-so, but Sean being a fabulous from scratch cook, you know, quickly adopted and transformed her cooking techniques to for whole food plant-based. And I myself at that time, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I was pre-diabetic, a metabolic syndrome, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and, you know, the typical things that men in their late 40s start to experience. So in those 2 years, I saw the same health benefits that you know, transforming my health. The weight loss came, all my blood panels cleared up. And we went into, you know, by 2013, thinking that this was fabulous. I was, you know, about to retire from, to be exact, I was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer, renal cell carcinoma, after suffering essentially from a week of abdominal pain, and rushed to the emergency ward that night and got the diagnosis. And that was the day that I fully committed to the emergency ward that night and got the diagnosis. And that was the day that I fully committed to adopting a whole food plant-based diet to hopefully improve my odds at surviving this terminal cancer diagnosis that had a 5% survival rate.
So how are you doing now with that? It's 2019. That was 6 years ago.
Well, that's right. We're actually, you know, this November was the my fifth year anniversary. It was an incredible transformation. I went into the diagnosis, of course, very, very healthy, part and parcel because of you know, the lifestyle change that we had made. So I did not look like a stage 4 cancer sufferer. And within 15 months, I was cancer-free, where, you know, the lymph node systems had cleared out. I, of course, had surgery to remove the kidney, extensive recovery of 2 years, and then they closed my file essentially back then. So fast forward to now, I've just hit that five-year marker that is so, you know, it's a milestone for cancer survivors, and hit the five-year mark now having survived this, you know, renal cell carcinoma. In fact, I'm not just survived it, I'm healthier than ever been, and I'm thriving.
Well, congratulations to you. Now, you say you eat a whole foods plant-based diet. Can you tell us more about what this is in comparison to just any vegan diet?
Yeah, to be clear, we started with a vegan diet when we first transitioned. And then, really, when Dan was diagnosed, of course, that's like having the rug pulled right out from under you. But after we kind of regained our equilibrium, I started really researching cancer and nutrition. And, you know, there's 100 years showing that animal protein causes cancer. But furthermore, you know, a vegan diet can consist of Oreo cookies and potato chips and lots of things that are animal-free but not particularly healthy for us. So I started what we called my program for nutritional excellence, and we just started pounding the greens, and I just got, you know, as much nutrients into Dan as possible, getting him ready for the surgery, which was going to be major, but also after the surgery, just really refining it into a totally unprocessed whole food, so foods as they are grown in nature, and really just concentrating on as many fruits and vegetables, whole grains in their unbroken form, legumes, like we didn't eat flour products, absolutely no oil. It was a very, very clean diet.
Not necessarily
sure.
Completely raw.
Not completely raw at all.
And
lots of raw, but not, they weren't exclusively raw for sure. So I think that's the difference. And, you know, sometimes I do worry about vegans because they transition for the animals and the environment, which is fabulous. We're all about that too. But they kind of forget maybe their own health. And I feel that if at 50 all of these vegans are diagnosed with heart disease or cancer or all of these things, every naysayer, every media outlet is going to come back at us and go, see, vegans aren't healthy. So I think that really including a more whole food plant-based diet is so important for the movement.
Not to say that we don't indulge.
Well, I saw your Christmas meal and that looked really yummy. And by the way, I've posted that on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, because it was so good.
Well, thanks. And that was definitely more vegan for sure. But, you know, hey, it's Christmas time. And I heard a great quote. People worry about what they eat between Christmas and New Year's when they should worry about what they eat between New Year's and Christmas.
No kidding.
So, we have a few indulgences over the holiday. That's fine. And then we get back to it come the new year.
Well, you were first motivated by health concerns, as you said, to change the way you eat. But how did this change into a lifestyle for you to become animal advocates?
Well, I think, you know, initially for me, we were reading about the health aspects. And then you start to read about how animals actually arrive on your plate. And then you have this amazing, you know, moment where you realize, you know, it was one thing to think that you needed these products to be healthy and that, you know, oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Cow, but I have to eat you if I'm going to be a healthy human being, which is what we're told by the animal agriculture industry. And then you realize, after extensive research, that that is completely untrue and quite the opposite. And you suddenly, you know, that's it. Why would we be eating animals if they're unhealthy and we're causing this horrible suffering? And when you find out the kind of suffering that actually happens and that there is no humane meat, it's a done deal.
I agree. Well, can you talk to us about some of the vegan and animal activism that you've been involved recently?
Yeah, it really, our activism actually started in 2017. And again, it was just through connectivity through social media and seeing, you know, the Liberation BC crew, and Jeff Rieger's work and Megan Beattie's work and so many other people that, it kind of piqued our curiosity. And, on June 10th, our wedding anniversary that year, we headed down to Vancouver for the March to Close All Slaughterhouses. And, getting together with that group of 400 some odd people, some people who we followed and followed us and we met in person, and just the energy that was there that day, it truly, truly lit that spark, and ignited it. And to the point where that following the march, I was just bursting with this energy and enthusiasm that I cold called or just walked up to Megan and introduced myself. She had no idea who I was. And I asked her, could you please give me 2 minutes of time with the mic following Dominic Thompson's and so I actually, for the first time in my life, you know, spoke out at a you know a protest rally publicly like that, and it was on Vancouver's you know art gallery steps, and it was such an empowering and powerful thing. It was our wedding anniversary day, so we certainly evoked emotion in the crowd with that, but it was just, there was just something about it, and we haven't stopped since. And quickly, too, if there's anybody out there who has video of my, when I stood on the steps, because Sean was so gobsmacked, she didn't know I was up to do it.
And I was crying.
And she was in tears, so if anybody has video of
that. I know someone who was taking video that day. I'll contact him.
And then it we came in for an earthling experience to Vancouver with Jeff Ngu, the Cube of Truth with the Anonymous for the Voiceless Kelowna group was instituted last year, heavily involved with that, and then again a new chapter with the Animal Save, Okanagan Animal Save, and of course participated down in Vancouver with Megan's crew at Chicken Save vigils. There's just so much going on.
Organizing the march to close the slaughterhouses for Kelowna.
Yeah,
good for you for doing that.
So then we broke off from the Vancouver event last year, and a small group we got together and started the Kelowna march as well. We had the honor as well. One of our trips to L.A. We attended and met up with Amy Jean Davis of L.A. Pig Save, Animal Save down there, and went to one of the vigils at Farmer John's, and have connected with the you know the California activism groups, and it just keeps growing and growing, and the connectivity it's just an amazing community.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, you are actually an officer of the law, and I'm not used to seeing police officers being outspoken animal advocates. They're usually at our events for crowd control. So how does being a vegan activist fit into your life of also being a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police?
Yeah, I've been a member of the RCMP now for 33 and a half years, which is actually soon coming to an end. 2019 is a huge year for us in general. I'm retiring on January 30th, actually, but seeing that I've been involved in the animal rights movement for the past 2 years, yet flashback for the, you know, all of my service. Yeah, I've been on both sides of the protests and the movements and from the enforcement and safety, public safety matter, to now being on the other side of it. It's permitted me to want to share, with the activists and movements as to, you know, what we should be expecting of our law enforcement agencies, and also hopefully avoid some of the pitfalls so that people can be more familiar with what is expected of them with respect to lawful protests and so on. And I'm not a lawyer by any means, but I can certainly give a certain perspective. And interestingly enough, as well, with our involvement with the Okanagan Animal Save now, people have seen in the media that at one of the local slaughterhouses, pig slaughterhouses in Salmon Arm, there was an alleged assault that took place that is being investigated, and it was quite an intense moment where we were doing the pig vigil that night and attempted to stop the truck for the first time. So it's been an interesting part of my work, but I mentioned this when we spoke on Parliament Hill with Nation Rising as well. As a police officer for 33 years, I've been doing everything I am supposed to assist victims of violence. And as an animal rights activist and now being aware and woke with respect to animal farming, it has been so hard. One of the hardest things I've experienced is to stand by, see, hear, and feel a victim and not being able to do what normally I've been trained to do and know what is morally right to do.
Wow. That's just an incredible thing. And thank you for sharing that with us. So moving on, just a few weeks ago, a Christmas miracle took place in which a dairy farmer in Abbotsford had a change of heart and decided to spare the lives of 9 calves who were recently born into the dairy industry and unable to produce milk. Can you tell us more about this story and how you've been involved in the rescue and care of 3 of these calves, please?
Well, it was great. There's a young woman, Amy Serrano, who put out the post. And so when I saw the post, I reached out to Critter Aid, where I've been volunteering for almost a year now, and I said, hey, do you think we could do this? There was some conversation, some discussion. Yes, we can do this. So it was a real snap decision. There was some conversation, some discussion. Yes, we can do this. So it was a real snap decision. 2 of our volunteers jumped in our minivan, just an ordinary minivan, and they drove down to the dairy farm. And we were initially supposed to get twins. When they arrived, one of the twins had died overnight. And so then it was the big decision. Do we take one twin? Because we were also offered another set of twins, and what do you do? So we came home with 3. And so it was quite an interesting ride home with 3 little calves bouncing around the back of a minivan. And, you know, it's been an amazing thing to do. We've had these little babies, and we have this amazing group of volunteers, and we have quite this elaborate schedule because they have to be fed, 7 a.m., 12, 5, and 10 o'clock at night. So there's this huge schedule. We're out there. We're doing this as a team. And it's been just such a joy. They are such gentle, sweet little creatures. They're like puppies. They really are like puppies.
Yeah.
For me, that was the first time I had had contact with such a young calf.
Yeah.
I've been around farms all my life that are not, where, you know, lived around them and seen them in the field and so on and so forth. But to have that close contact with them and to realize, my gosh, they're such a gentle, docile little baby, and they're so sweet. They're like giant puppies. It was really, truly amazing.
And it really gives you some insight as to how we have horribly exploited them and the horrible things we do to them, because they are so gentle and sweet. Mm-hmm. They don't have a mean bone in their body. They're just so loving, so cuddly, and they just, I just can't get enough of them, and they just love to be cuddled. And so we're hopeful that they will be wonderful ambassadors for the public, because we're going to hand-rear them. They're going to have this amazing amount of attention and respect and love, and always live in a safe place where they're treated well. And we're hopeful they will be lovely, lovely beings to show people that cows are not a commodity, but they're individuals.
It's already started to happen. We've seen on the conversations on Facebook where Critter Aid has pre-vegans, non-vegans that are there to support animals. But then, you know, as we see often on the comment lines, is that, oh, my God, I wasn't aware of that. Mm-hmm. And there's been at least 6 now on some of the pages that I did not know this.
Right.
I cannot support this industry anymore. I am not consuming dairy anymore.
Well, getting more into that, can you tell us about the dairy industry and why these calves were a byproduct and useless for profit?
Right. So the male calves of the dairy industry don't produce milk or give babies, so they are completely garbage. So they're either slaughtered very shortly after birth, or they're raised for veal. And then they're slaughtered at, for veal, 18 to 20 weeks, but often before 3 weeks, they're slaughtered for low-grade products like hot dogs or dog food, things like that. And they're not cared for. They're not, fed properly. If they are for veal, they're given a formula that keeps them anemic so that their flesh is a very light pink, because that's desirable in veal. And, you know, they're so weak that they often can't even walk to slaughter because they have such severely underdeveloped muscles and they're anemic. So it's really horrific to think that these babies are just garbage. Now, interestingly, I didn't know this, but female twins or a female that's in a twin is barren. And so those females can't produce milk or give babies. And so they are considered to be garbage just like the males are. And we actually got two females and a male. So it's a horrible industry. It's an absolutely horrible industry. And, you know, the thing is that we've been so veiled from the truth. We've been told by the dairy industry that we need to have dairy. And yet it's the top source of saturated fat and cholesterol, which increases heart disease, which is our number one killer. A Canadian dies of heart disease every single mother's milk is species specific. We're not meant to drink milk past the age of weaning, and certainly not the milk of another mammal. In fact, we have an enzyme that breaks down the lactose in milk, and that disappears from our system at around the age of weaning. So you're not lactose intolerant, you're just not a baby cow. And, you know, we're told by the dairy industry that calcium builds strong bones, yet the countries that consume the most dairy have the highest hip fracture rates because dairy is so acidic and the body needs to buffer all that acid by leaching calcium from the bones, which compromises them. And dairy's been linked to prostate acid by leaching calcium from the bones, which compromises them. And dairy's been linked to prostate, breast, and ovarian, and lung cancer. And, you know, much of that is due to the fact that there's insulin growth-like factor, or insulin-like growth factor 1 is a hormone, which is a growth hormone, because baby cows need to grow from 60 pounds to 600 pounds in a very short period of time. And so when we consume that, it's, you know, roving around the body trying to grow things, and if it finds a cancer cell, holy crow, it just grows it.
So, yeah, so when you combine all that, we have the animal cruelty, that what it is, what animal farming does as well for the environment, and we're doing to the animals and our health, it's just, it doesn't make sense. It does not equate. So, you know, I think the more and more people learn about it, all of those three components, it becomes easier and easier to look at getting away from, you know.
Especially when there's so many delicious alternatives now, you know.
Yes.
It's like growing leaps and bounds.
Well, on today's show, it's our New Year's show. We're encouraging our listeners to go vegan for 2019. It's Veganuary. There's also the Plant Milk Challenge that is taking place starting January 10th. And you can find that by searching Plant Milk Challenge 2019 on Facebook. So what advice do you have for our listeners who are inspired by your story and who want to make a change to adopt a vegan lifestyle? What do you recommend for ditching dairy and other animal products from our plates and living as joyful vegans?
Well, we always say that if you have any kind of health issues, you need to jump in with both feet. You don't have the luxury of leaning in. And if you are healthy and you're just doing this because you want to make a change in your life, you do have that option of, you know, transitioning. We personally think you should go cold turkey because big changes bring big results.
I think that, you know, when we look at those that say, yeah, no, I'm doing this, when you examine other decisions where you've made these drastic changes, and with the drastic change comes the big results, and with the results, the positive results you get, that just snowballs again and just grows and grows and grows and gives you that smile and just that feeling of wellness, and you say to yourself, hey, this works. And you know,
exactly.
to finally know how it feels to feel good and well, as we get older, and in many instances, we forget about that. We don't even know it. I don't think people really realize it. You know,
you don't know how good you feel until you know.
You feel good.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so many people live with such chronic issues, and It doesn't have to be.
Well, thank you so much, Sean and Dan Moskaluk, the Indian Rock Vegans from the Okanagan Valley, for sharing with us your stories of vegan and animal advocacy transformation. To find out more about Sean and Dan's work, you can visit them at Indian Rock Vegans on Facebook, at Indian Rock Vegans on Instagram, and you can watch them in the documentary film Eating You Alive at eatingyoualive.com. You can also watch the Jane Unchained live stream video that they made of the rescued calves on our website at animalvoices.org, and also subscribe to janeunchained.com. Jane and other activists are also putting on great videos there all about food and activism. Thank you so much. Happy Veganuary. Happy 2019 to both of you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So we have some events that I want to talk about in a little bit of time that we have. I had mentioned the Plant Milk Challenge, and that's starting on January the 10th. It goes until the 20th. And if you just go to Facebook and type in Plant Milk Challenge 2019, you will become part of this committed group and part of a growing supportive community learning to embrace the dairy-free lifestyle. Every day they will be posting on there with recipes, mini challenge announcements, motivational videos with their dairy-free athletes, health facts, performance tips, and more. It's never too late to join, even halfway through. And once again, go to Facebook and search Plant Milk Challenge 2019. It's all free too. Something else that's happening on January the 10th is the Animals and Ethics in the 21st Century Speaker Series, hosted by the Vancouver Humane Society. And this is going to be a lecture with dietitian Desiree Nielsen, who we had on the show actually a couple months ago. She's really great. She has a lot of great information. So if you're looking to go plant-based in the new year, learn how veganism or even just reducing your consumption of animal products can benefit your health from a registered dietitian. This talk will give you a crash course on plant-based nutrition and is a great opportunity for the veg curious to understand the benefits of going plant-based, while current vegetarians or vegans will be excited to speak with a dietitian that understands animal ethics. Desiree Nielsen is a registered dietitian based in Vancouver, and she's also the host of the Urban Vegetarian Show on Gusto TV. So tickets for that are $10 or $5 for students. You can find out more about that on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. Finally, the Humane Hoax Online Summit is going to be happening for the first time. It'll be next weekend, January 12th and 13th, and there's going to be a great lineup of speakers. Faced with growing cultural criticism and large-scale animal agriculture, corporations, manufacturers, and consumers alike are turning towards so-called humane methods of animal farming and seeking out alternative labels on their animal products. These falsehoods and myths, the Humane Hoax, range from large family farms and thousands of animals to your neighbor's backyard, yet exploitation and suffering are omnipresent in every method of husbandry. Just so for the last hour, you've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO on Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show on Friday, January the 11th. We'll be featuring an interview with writer and animal advocate Mark Hawthorne to speak about his newly revised book, Striking at the Roots, A Practical Guide to Animal Activism. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Visit us on Facebook at Animal Voices Vancouver. Listen to our past podcasts on animalvoices.org, on iTunes, and as of today, on Google Play Podcasts. I hope you've been inspired by today's show to take a step in creating a kinder world. I hope we can live in a world one day where we speak our truth, we are honest with our feelings, we communicate, and we live our days with integrity, knowing that honesty and feelings, we communicate and we live our days with integrity, knowing that honesty and authenticity will always prevail. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
I met this girl, she was walking through one of my dreams. She kissed my eyes and everything that she said.
made so much sense to me that I still feel like I'm half asleep. Well, my dark angel, she gave me diamonds for eyes. She walked by and now I'm hypnotized by this dream that just won't stop. And I feel like I've always